You are Locked On Vols, your daily Tennessee Volunteers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into Locked On Vols, your team every day. My name is Josh Ward. Thanks for being here today. Today's show has a mix of Tennessee football and basketball to cover. The Tennessee football team was back on the practice field on Tuesday afternoon. Something interesting happened with Trey Smith on the practice field. He was taking part a little bit more. Jeremy Pruitt, though, afterwards said that he wasn't. So I'll tell you about what we saw at practice, and you'll hear what Jeremy Pruitt said about it after practice coming up here in the first segment of the show. A few other notes with a couple of guys who have dealt with injuries getting back on the practice field and why that can help Tennessee. I'll get to that in segment number one. In segment number two, Tennessee is trying to make its first Final Four run in the history of the basketball program. Tennessee needs to beat Purdue and then likely Virginia, the winner of Virginia-Oregon in the Elite Eight. First things first, Tennessee has to get by Purdue. So you'll hear Rick Barnes talk about Purdue's offense and Carson Edwards and what he's able to do for the Boilermakers, and Bill Bender of Sporting News talking about Tennessee and why he has the Vols advancing to the Final Four. I'll get to that in segment number two. And some coaching changes in the SEC in basketball. All of a sudden, it's become a basketball conference. Not really, but the way coaching changes are coming about so quickly, it almost looks that way. I'll get to that in the third segment of today's show. Locked On Vols, your team every day. And you can get Locked On Vols on the brand new podcasting app, Himalaya, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. And when you get in your car, tell your smartphone to play podcast Locked On Vols. I mentioned that Trey Smith was a little more active in practice on Tuesday. It was the sixth practice of the spring for Tennessee. In the first five practices, we have seen Trey Smith be present. He's been very vocal. He's shown the leadership qualities that I think we've all recognized are there for Trey, but he has not taken part in any kind of physical contact activity. He has been there in pads, but not taking part. On Tuesday, during the early part of practice, when the media was allowed to watch, we were watching the individual position group drills, and Trey Smith took part. He did some light contact work with the offensive linemen, and he did not do that many drills. I saw him take a couple of reps. Jesse Simonton of VolQuest noted that he saw Trey do 3 to 4. I saw 2 myself, and he did engage with a lineman each time. One time was with Eric Crosby, as they have offensive linemen working with each other in their position group. So when I saw this and others were standing there watching, we thought, oh, this is a pretty big deal. Now, it was light contact work. When they did some heavier work later, he was not taking part in that when they were doing some two-man work with the offensive line group. But when they were doing one-on-one drills, he took part. He was active. So we looked around and said, hey, this is something here. Trey Smith is doing more than we've seen. It's the first time he's had any kind of contact since the week of the South Carolina game before the blood clots reemerged. And at that point, Trey was not able to play the rest of the season. And again, he has not done anything this spring. And the expectation has been that he would not be doing anything this spring, as they were waiting to find out what happens next with Trey's blood clot situation. But after practice, Jeremy Pruitt was asked about Trey Smith, and I'll let you hear the question and answer here. The question comes from Blake Topmeyer from Knox News, and he's asking Jeremy Pruitt about Trey Smith and his activity in practice. Listen to what Jeremy Pruitt said.
Trey Smith doing some contact drills, it looked like, today. Just what did it mean to have him doing some of that drill work, and how did he look out there today?
Well, Trey's not doing any contact drills. He might hit a dummy here or there, but he's not doing any contact.
So Jeremy Pruitt said that he's not doing any contact, which is the opposite of what we saw in the practice field on Tuesday. So Blake did follow up and said, well, it looks like he was more active than we've seen before. This is what Jeremy Pruitt said.
You know more about it than I do then.
Which is an odd response, because we should not know more than Jeremy Pruitt does, right? He's the head coach running the practice. So when Tennessee sent out the transcript of Jeremy Pruitt's press conference afterward, Tennessee did not include that question and answer. The question about Trey Smith and what Jeremy Pruitt said was not a part of the transcript that Tennessee sent out. Everything else was in there except for that. Why? I don't know. But there are a few things we know. We know that Trey Smith took part in some light contact work during practice with his teammates in the offensive line drill. We know that coaches watched it happen, and Jeremy Pruitt said it didn't. Now, Jeremy Pruitt was not there while it was going on. He was over on the defensive side of the field. The way the practice setup is laid out, you have one field where the defensive players are working with their individual position groups, then another side where you have some offensive players, and then over to the side even more, you have quarterbacks and tight ends. So the offensive linemen are in the middle and really kind of far away from where Jeremy Pruitt is. It appears he didn't know that Trey Smith was doing contact work, and based on what Jeremy said, he's not supposed to be doing contact work. It's very odd to me that Tennessee removed it from the transcript, Jeremy Pruitt talking about it, because again, it happened. We saw it. There's video of it. The media is there, and it's allowed to take video, so you can go on the internet and find it. Eric Kane has video up on sportsradiownml.com, the Sports Animals website. I don't know what to make of it other than Jeremy Pruitt said that Trey wasn't doing any contact work, and he definitely was doing contact work. According to Tennessee's head coach, he should not have been doing any light contact work. So at the time I was watching this, I thought, hey, this is some kind of big news here. I'll be curious to see what Jeremy Pruitt has to say about, you know, what allowed him to be able to do the contact work. And based on Tennessee's head coach's comments, he may have not been allowed to do contact work. So we'll see what it means moving forward. My guess is that the next practice tomorrow, we won't see him doing any work. And that might have been news to Jeremy Pruitt when Blake was asking him about it, because the way that he answered, he seemed to be unaware that it was happening. Now, that's not the entire story from practice. Tennessee was back out there. It's easily the biggest story out of practice, I would say, and maybe leaves the biggest question mark. But Jeremy Pruitt talked about the team getting back to work, and I wanted you to hear what he had to say. So this is Jeremy Pruitt talking about the way his team practiced, maybe some of the issues that popped up on the offensive side that hadn't been there before. But Jeremy Pruitt talking about practice number 6 this spring for Tennessee.
Lots of good things. Still a long ways to go when it comes to execution. You know, learning to play with the right pad level, learning how to finish every single play, every rep. Too many penalties, too many turnovers. Offensively, you know, up until this point, operation had been really good. Today's probably the first day that, you know, we probably were a little bit behind schedule, and the offense sets the tempo of practice. I've got to do a much better job doing that. You know, I think over the last couple of weeks, our kickers have continued to improve our operation. That's a positive side. Still trying to figure out who all is going to be our punt returners, our kick returners. You know, we got Marquez Callaway that done the punts last year, and Ty and a couple other guys that done kickoffs. But we got competition back there. We've got to make that or create a weapon in our special teams when our return game. So we're working hard to do that. You know, when you come back from spring break, you know, with a week off, I didn't think there was enough carryover from the previous week. So we got to go back and get started and get back into the grind. The spirit and energy was there early on, but we didn't finish the way we need to finish.
So overall, not the practice that Jeremy Pruitt wanted. I think it starts there with the offensive side, as it's been ahead of the defense in the first 2 weeks of practice. Not as much in practice number 6 as the Vols are back from spring break. I wouldn't read too much into that. I would still look at Jarrett Garantano being back and the amount of experience that Tennessee has on offense and say the expectation should be pretty high. Of course, the offensive line is a work in progress, and that's the biggest key here. If the offensive line is not a strong unit, then Tennessee's offense is not going to be able to reach its potential. Just can't happen if your offensive line is not strong. While the media was watching, Jim Chaney was very involved with the offensive line, and if you're looking for energy, Chaney was providing it. He was very animated. If guys were doing a good job, he let them know it. If they were not doing a good job, he absolutely let them know it. Eric Crosby is a player that Jim Chaney kind of called out and said, hey, I want to see a little more from you. And then in a drill with Wanya Morris, the highly touted freshman, Eric Crosby rocked him. It was not a close matchup, and Chaney was animated when he saw that happen. So That is clearly going to be a big focus with Jim Chaney and Will Friend and the offense for it to be able to reach its potential to be able to protect Jarrett Garantano, by the way. Tennessee does not need Garantano getting hurt again, and it's the offensive line's job to protect him. So we'll see what it means with Trey Smith again. Right now, probably means nothing. Chris Okporogide was out there not taking part in any drills while I was watching, but he was back out on the practice field. Well, I guess I shouldn't say back out. He was out on the practice field as he's a newcomer dealing with a minor knee injury a few weeks ago. He was out there as well as Tyus Fields. He made his debut on the practice field in the defensive backfield. He could play either corner or safety, and that's something that looks like it's going to be determined. Tennessee needs help at both areas, corner and safety, and Jalen McCullough is there, Warren Burrell as well, three newcomers in the defensive backfield, and it's good to get them back out there because Tennessee needs as much competition as possible. I don't know that Okporogide is playing right away. I would not count on that at all, but he is a big body, and he looks the part as he continues to learn to play on the offensive line. He could help Tennessee. And then in the defensive backfield, they do need more help. Kenneth George is not there. He's suspended indefinitely because of his arrest in Florida last week. So Tennessee is looking for more competition in the secondary, and Tyus Fields could supply that. So the Vols get back to work on the practice field. They will return tomorrow for practice number 7, almost halfway home through spring practice. Coming up next, Tennessee's basketball team is in Louisville. It's getting ready for the Purdue game Thursday night. Will Tennessee advance? Bill Bender was in Columbus, Ohio, covering Tennessee this past weekend for Sporting News. His thoughts on what he saw from the Vols, that wild second half and overtime with Iowa and Tennessee. Can it advance to the Final Four? Bill Bender of Sporting News discusses that next right here on Locked On Vols, your team every day. If you have time to rate and review the show on iTunes, please do so. Thanks to everybody who has left a rating and review. That means a lot. I really appreciate all the support. Keep spreading the word about the Daily Tennessee Podcast here 5 days a week. Locked On Vols, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You know at this point that Tennessee and Iowa on Sunday had a pretty wild second half. One of the wildest games, I would say, of the first weekend of the tournament, which produced a lot of chalk, meaning the top-seeded teams kept advancing and are still alive. You only have a 5 and a 12 remaining in the Sweet 16. The others are 1, 2, 3, and 4 seeds, the teams that were, quote, supposed to advance. So Tennessee, a team that is in the position it was expected to be in, it just took kind of an odd route to get here. A close game in the second half against Colgate and a game that went to overtime against Iowa after Tennessee led by 25. Bill Bender was there in Columbus this past weekend covering the first weekend of the tournament, and he saw Tennessee. He was very high on Tennessee going into the tournament. On Sports 180 on WNML this week, I asked him about what he saw with Tennessee in that Iowa game. He talked about both games and Tennessee moving forward, trying to still reach its goal of getting to the Final Four. Here's what Bill said about Tennessee and what he saw this past weekend.
Yeah, I mean, what a wild game that was. I mean, for the first half in both games, really, they looked like a team that's completely Final Four capable. You can tell this team's very tight, and that mattered. And then in the second half, you know, I honestly thought the game was over at 44-19, like probably some Tennessee fans. And then Iowa stormed back, and they turned the ball over a little bit. I mean, Jordan Bone insisted afterward that they didn't lose their poise or anything, and they kept playing the way they wanted to. But this is, as I'm sure you guys have talked about at length, I mean, Tennessee kind of tightropes that line between a team that looks like they could play for a national championship and a team that could get very easily bounced by Purdue this week.
Yeah, so if I said, hey, can Tennessee still reach its ultimate goal of getting to the Final Four and playing for a national championship, how do you answer that question based on what you've seen the first or the last few days?
Well, I picked them to go to the Final Four, so my answer would still be yes. I would like to see their style match up against Virginia if it came to that, because I do think Virginia's going to beat Oregon. So, you know, again, it comes down to these guys are really tight. I mean, obviously, you guys have probably talked about what happened with Admiral Schofield at the end of that game, and he was the same guy that stepped up and knocked down the big shots against Colgate. So when you factor all that in, I still think they're good enough to do it. The Purdue game is going to be interesting because they're running into probably the hottest player in the tournament. We talked about Ja Morant a lot in the first round. Carson Edwards is playing out of his mind. So that's something to consider. Purdue's a really good team. Purdue, actually, same questions as Tennessee, Josh. I mean, Matt Painter's 0-5 in the Sweet 16 with the Boilermakers.
Yeah, and Bill, you had Tennessee, as you mentioned, before the tournament in the Final Four, and you like the winner of Tennessee-Purdue to get by Virginia. What do you like about either team's chance to be able to knock off the one seed in the South region?
Well, I think their style, you know, they're going to try to score points. If you look how Tennessee would remind me a little bit, I think the way they would attack Virginia is kind of the way Florida State did in the ACC tournament, where they would use that advantage, that speed, shoot some threes. Now they would have to play disciplined defense on the other end, of course, because Virginia is going to work their clock. And this is just me, and it's not a knock on Virginia because I get they win a lot of games, but I'm going to pick the team that plays offense in that game because I trust the team that I know can get the 60 or 70 against Virginia, a team that I think maybe relies just a touch too much on their defense.
Bill Bender from Sporting News on WNML. And of course, first things first, Tennessee has to get by Purdue first before it can worry about Virginia next. And Virginia has to get by Oregon. That's not going to be an easy game for the Cavaliers, I don't think. So we'll see once the Elite Eight occurs. And for Purdue or Tennessee, it would be a tough game. Virginia's a good basketball team. I know what happened last year in the first round. Virginia's good and would be a really tough game. And I don't think anybody is really saying otherwise. But it starts with Purdue. And Tennessee, of course, has to clean some things up on both sides of the ball. And, you know, it's interesting that Bill Bender talks about the offense for Tennessee, and it could be good enough to get by Virginia. Tennessee's offense, when it's clicking, is really good. Same for Purdue, by the way. And that starts with Carson Edwards. You're going to hear about him coming up in just a moment. But Tennessee's offense, when everything's going right and Tennessee's taking care of the basketball, it's one of the best in the nation. It's why Tennessee was, or a large reason why Tennessee was number one in the country for four straight weeks and had that 19-game winning streak. Tennessee was not playing elite defense a lot of the time there. Tennessee was playing elite offensively. And that's something that the Vols will need probably against Purdue to win this week, and will for sure need if it's going to go 2-0 this weekend trying to get to the Final Four. And Tennessee might need some offense to be able to outscore Purdue. Purdue is one of the best offensive teams in the country, and that starts with Carson Edwards. He's one of the best scorers. He can really fill it up. Now, he will take a lot of shots. He took about twice as many shots as the next man up for Purdue, Ryan Klein. He shoots a lot, and when it's going in, it can be a real problem. Carson scored 42 against Villanova on Saturday night. Rick Barnes was asked about Purdue, what the Boilermakers do, and Carson Edwards on Monday when he met with the media. This is what Rick Barnes said about what Tennessee is about to face.
Well, they're a little more, I think, perimeter-oriented than they were a year ago. They still going to have their inside game there. But, you know, I mean, he's been phenomenal. You watch him play, and there are some teams that really try to guard him. I mean, he's one of those guys, he gets it going. You can't take anything away from him. But Matt's done a terrific job. Again, I mean, they were co-champions of the Big Ten, and that, we know how good that league is. But it's going to be the same thing. You're there. You're going to have to work as hard as you can each possession, take care of the ball. You're going to have to defend because you got a guy that can go for 40 or 50 points on you and put a lot of pressure on you.
Tennessee will have to be ready. Lamonte Turner said that the Vols are going to be ready and that Edwards is not going to go for 40 points, which is not, you know, that big of a proclamation. It will be a problem for Tennessee if Edwards goes for 40-plus points again, like he did against Villanova the other night. Tennessee should be ready. Lamonte and Jordan Bowden will need to play well defensively to help slow him down. He's going to get his shots up. Don't just look at the point total. If Edwards scores 20 points, that's not necessarily a bad thing. If he only scores 20, he probably didn't have a very good game, considering how often Edwards shoots the ball, how much usage he has in the offense for Purdue. So that game's coming up tomorrow night. Tomorrow on Locked On Vols, we'll have a big preview for you to get you ready for the Sweet 16 matchup with Tennessee. You'll hear from Dustin Dupirak of The Athletic. He covers Purdue. And, of course, look at everything from Tennessee side. That's coming up tomorrow on Locked On Vols. Coming up next, it's almost like the SEC is a basketball conference. With the coaching changes we're seeing, there is a lot of pressure on SEC basketball coaches to succeed and high expectations in hoops in the league. I'll get to that coming up next right here on Locked On Vols. Remember, you can get this show every day subscribing to Locked On Vols on the new Himalaya podcast app. in an ever-expanding podcast world, you need Himalaya with their personally curated playlists and new features every day. Download Himalaya at your app store and subscribe to Locked On Vols. On Tuesday afternoon, Arkansas announced that it had let go Mike Anderson. Mike Anderson was really a big-time get for the Razorbacks when he was hired several years ago to come back, where he had been an assistant under Nolan Richardson and then had gone on and had success coaching at UAB and Missouri. Hiring him away from Missouri was really a big deal for Arkansas, and it really didn't play out the way that I think Arkansas had planned. He had been hired before the 2011-12 season. So spending the last 8 seasons at Arkansas, the Razorbacks made 3 NCAA tournament appearances and never made it to the Sweet 16. Twice they won the first round and then lost in the next round. And then last year, Arkansas went to the tournament and lost in the first round. This year, Arkansas bowed out in the second round of the NIT. So Arkansas has decided to fire Nolan Richardson. Texas A&M has a vacancy. It let go of Billy Kennedy. And then here in the last week, we saw Alabama part ways with Avery Johnson, and Vanderbilt fired Bryce Drew. So those 4 openings exist right now, plus LSU realistically is going to be looking for a head coach this offseason. That's not official. Currently, Will Wade is just suspended, but Will Wade is suspended. He's not realistically going to be LSU's coach next season. So right now, we should plan on 5 openings in the SEC in basketball. That's football level right there. So with those jobs, they're all pretty good jobs, I think. Part of it will be what connections do coaches have with the different programs. Names that are being mentioned for some of those openings: Kelvin Sampson, who is at Houston. Right now, Houston's in the Sweet 16 getting ready to take on Kentucky. Sampson's a really good coach. He's had NCAA issues. He had to leave college basketball for a little while after being the coach at Indiana with issues that popped up at Oklahoma and Indiana before he received a show cause. But nobody questioned Sampson's coaching ability, so he could be a name to watch. The name Buzz Williams has been tossed around. He is at Virginia Tech, and Virginia Tech is alive in the Sweet 16 getting ready for Duke. But it's been brought up that Buzz could look around, and his name has been connected to the Texas A&M job. I think Vanderbilt's a pretty good job. I think Alabama's a pretty good job. LSU, that's a position that could be coveted, although coaches might wonder what's the NCAA status there. But with all these schools being willing to spend, and I think that's the case, I think they're going to be willing to spend to go find good coaches. That's why some of these guys are out. And with the football success and the way that money has grown in the league, there has been a greater emphasis put on basketball. I think that's around the league, and that includes at Tennessee. Tennessee is spending on Rick Barnes and is having success, as you're aware. So in the SEC right now, we have 4 basketball coaching vacancies. Expect it to be 5. And who knows if something else happens, but right now that's probably where it stops. 5 out of 14 jobs are expected to be open this offseason in the SEC in a league that's very deep. 7 teams made the NCAA tournament this year. Expectations are rising in the league in basketball. That's only a good thing to me. It's become more competitive. The basketball product has just gotten considerably better here in the last few years. And let's see which coaches arrive in the league. Something tells me SEC basketball is about to get even better. So a lot of stuff going on right now with Tennessee. Big focus on Tennessee and Purdue in basketball tomorrow night. Tennessee football will be back on the practice field tomorrow. I'll put in the show notes a video of Tennessee practicing yesterday. That's from Eric Kane with the Sports Animal. And you can see in there Trey Smith doing some light contact work. I don't know how big of a deal that is. One thing that's for sure a big deal is Trey's health. That's priority number one. And he very clearly cares about Tennessee, has a great level of passion for the game of football, and wants to be out there playing. We know that. The indication is he was not supposed to be doing that on Tuesday. So I'll put the video in the show notes. You can check that out if you'd like to. We'll see if Tennessee has an explanation for why it took out Jeremy Pruitt's comments about Trey in the transcript. One thing's obvious, Tennessee didn't want those comments to be in the transcript. So we'll see if anything happens there, but I would not right now expect Trey to be taking part in any kind of physical activity in practice on Thursday, at least based on what Tennessee's head coach said. Thanks so much for hanging out here on Locked On Vols. Remember to download, subscribe, rate, and review, and keep spreading the word. I'll see you right here tomorrow on Locked On Vols.